Hi, good morning. Hello? Hello? Is there anyone on the call? You may be on mute. Hi, Melanie, it's Sasha.
Hi, Sasha.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I listened to the call, and it was so nice to hear you and all the beautiful ladies. It's getting very warm and sweet in our interaction.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. How was your playback? Because we had a little technical difficulties.
It was fine. It was fine.
It was
comprehensive.
Audible?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Hi, who just logged on?
This is Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Where are you now?
I'm actually on
Yeah, it's really challenging. You're breaking up. Can't really hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, that's good. As long as you can hear us. So who else do we have on the call? Mel, Anna, Anna. Anyone else?
Yes.
Sorry, was someone trying to talk? Hi, Ash. Hello? Are you guys there?
I am.
Okay. It's just weird technology. I'm on my phone today. All right, so if I'm hearing correctly, we have Ashley and Mel and Anna. Anyone else? Okay, we'll wait a couple more minutes. Poor Anna. Hi, Jenny.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. We're just waiting for a few more people to join the call, and if everyone hopefully is using a headset, that would be great.
I'm on a landline, so I'm just going to mute it.
Okay. Hi, Nikki. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. My little boy's sleeping and it's crossing my fingers. He stays asleep a whole hour and a half.
Okay. Well, we're just waiting for a couple more people to jump on and then we'll get started.
great. Okay.
Actually, we have a few people that will not be on the call today, and that's Kia, Cynthia, and I just unfortunately got a text from Minx about an hour ago that she's having an emergency with her dog, so she will not be on the call.
I think it said, I think it's her dad.
Her dad?
Did she dog?
I got
an email.
I'm going to look at the text. Well, unless she...
dog. Okay.
Is it dog?
You're right, yeah.
Okay. Not that that's... It is different, but it's still difficult. So I don't think she'll be joining us. So we have Jenny, Mel, Nicole, Ashley, and Anna. Yes?
Yes.
All right, that's five, and that's all five. All right, sweet. So as I mentioned last week, I would like to begin our session with a grounding, and I'd like for one of you to volunteer to lead us through that grounding, please.
I'll do it if no one else will do it. This is Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny. That would be great.
Okay. Okay, so if we could all take a moment and, if possible, close our eyes. And whether you're sitting or standing, just take a moment and root yourself into the surface that you're on. And then take a deep inhalation and watch your whole rib cage lift and spread and elongate through the crown of your head. And then staying tall, exhale, let any tension release out of the shoulders and all the way down. Maybe one more deep breath like that. Okay. Is that good? Is that enough?
That's great. Thank you. So I just want to check in. Somebody came on the call as Anonymous. Who is Anonymous? That's kind of... Anna Anonymous. Okay. Just making sure we don't have anybody in here that should not be with us. So, Jenny, yes, thank you for grounding us. Appreciate it. I just want to welcome everyone for our third call. And just a reminder that if you have a headset, please use it. I think that was the cause of some of the technical issues we had last week, and so far it sounds fine. So thank you for doing that. That's really, really helpful. Did anyone not receive the coach-to-coach schedule and prep form? Okay, great. So we know that at the top of the hour, Mel will be coaching Nicole, and Ashley will be the primary observer, and we'll get more into those details at the top of the hour. So just, was there a question?
No, I just said cool. I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. Who's saying cool?
Mel?
Mel, you're kicking us off, girlfriend. I hope you're saying cool. Okay. All right, so since there's just the five of us today, I would like to go around and give everyone a turn to talk about maybe 2 minutes each at max. One of your wins this week, one of your challenges over the past week, and then how did your own work go with your SMART goals? Who would like to start?
This is Mel.
Thanks, Mel.
I just want to let everyone know I'm driving for a few minutes, so I just, you know, for whatever it's worth, I'm driving, but I'm paying attention. I am feeling somewhat victorious this week because I'm finding that I'm able to balance my time fairly well and stay in a place of feeling grateful, which is part of where I sometimes feel sorry for myself. Even though I chose to be pregnant, I feel sorry for myself that I'm pregnant and that I'm busy and I'm organizing, you know, taking care of two little other kids. And, you know, I'll create a for me situation. So I've stayed in more of a gratitude, just really feeling very thankful and feeling more of the possibility than the problem. And I've been kinder and just better. Better teacher, better mom, better wife this week than I have been in previous weeks. And my SMART goals, I have to say, I feel like I have so many goals that I've been kind of wishy-washy on anchoring down, like, what I'm going to focus on. So I'm kind of confessing that I've been wishy-washy and I have nothing to say.
All right, did you check it? That's great. I love the honesty. Did you check in with your buddy?
I did. If he is my buddy, we have not fully connected, but we've made efforts. I've made efforts. I'm sure we will connect.
Okay. Okay. All right, great. Mel, thanks for sharing, and I love that you're sort of shifting your thinking from problems to possibility, and that's going to totally help you in your personal life as well as help you as a mentor coach. So thanks for sharing. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next. It's Nikki.
Thanks, Nikki.
Okay, so a win for me this week has been, it's kind of like a, Diana, so I've had this ongoing personal struggle with my husband in trying to get him to go to therapy, and I feel like there's been all of this, these issues in our relationship, and I want to continually blame his past for it. And there was one section that I read that was a little bit about, like, you know, forget the backstory and move forward. And what's really interesting is he traveled a lot, and he was up against this deadline to get something done, and he didn't show up to a therapy session, and his therapist called me and was pretty much like, I'm not going to see your husband anymore. He doesn't want to be here. Like, he's only doing it for you, kind of thing. And I was really, really mad. And then I actually let it go, and I realized in this last week, I actually read this section after I had already let it go, but what I realized is that you don't have to go to the past necessarily. Like, we can start from here, from where we are, and move forward. And I think because I've always been like, therapy is amazing, therapy, everyone needs therapy, that I haven't been able to let go of that mindset. And we have been better, and actually it's probably been 2 weeks. We have been better in the last 2 weeks, but this week especially, because we were actually good the prior week, right? But I was still, like, mad about it. And then this week I really let it go. And every time I read it, I would take a picture of what I was reading and forward it to him about, like, possibilities instead of problems. And then the other one about how to, you know, to start creating from where you are. And there was one section, I can't remember exactly where it was, where it lists bullet points of, like, notice where you feel better, notice where you're more productive, notice where, I don't know if you're familiar with the section I'm talking about, but I sent him that too, and I was like, we are happier here, and it's because we're not going in the past. And so it kind of, that, just that perspective really has changed my happiness level this week, and that's a huge win for me, because I've been creating, I think, more turmoil than need be, just because he wasn't going to therapy, not because there was issues. You know what I mean? And so that was really eye-opening for me because, again, I keep wanting to go to his past, and I realize that we really need to be building our future. And then my struggle for the week was also, like Mel, trying to create these SMART goals. And Mel, actually, I hope you're ready for me because you're working with me today. Because we literally moved to Florida, like, on a whim, and I'm in Florida, and I don't know how long I'll be here. Hi, Anna.
She's traveling. She's not going to be back in Athens until next week, so she doesn't really have a great signal, and it's way expensive to call in, so I'm sure she's struggling. So I apologize for the on and off, but anyway, keep going, Nikki.
Oh, so I write like a goal like start to buy a home / get ready to move back to California. So like I'm in this place where it's just really hard for me to write goals because I don't know what's happening with my life. But so that's been my struggle. The end. Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Hi, it's Jenny. I can go.
Okay, Jenny, hang on 1 second. Thank you for going next. So, Nikki, I just want to acknowledge, first of all, thank you for sharing a personal place that you're in with your family. And I'm just so proud of you that some of the work that we're already doing, we're just in the third week, and it can't help but affect all of us personally to be learning these principles and applying these principles to our own life. And there is inherent value in therapy, but there is not, that's not the only way. There are other perspectives to look from, and I'm glad you're exploring one that's working for you and your. The goals will manifest. So it's just the first stages. Okay.
Thank you,
Diana. You're welcome. Thanks, Jenny. Go ahead.
Hi there. Nikki, I love you. That's so sweet. I loved hearing that. So after our little our session that we had last week where I expressed my challenges of trying to feel better about my teaching when I'm not feeling so great or feeling insecure, et cetera, and I committed to taking a couple of minutes before, like about 10 minutes before my class, I set an alarm on my iPhone. And one time the alarm went off and I was like, oh my God, right. And like, I mean, I would not have done it if I hadn't set that alarm. The commitment was to just sit like quietly somewhere or somehow for a minute and ground and just, you know, close my eyes and sort of surrender in a way to, you know, get out of my own way. And it really worked. Like it really, I felt so different when I was teaching. So that was really, yeah. And the setting, the thing is that I will not remember to do it. I mean, maybe over time, you know, it will become more of a habit, but I had to set that alarm and it really, really helped. And it was so simple, really. So that was a really huge, it was a happy moment. Win for me, I guess this is a win. That's so funny, that word, win. I managed to stay out of a situation that in the past I would have been right in the middle of, which is between two really good friends of mine that don't really know each other that well, and one has got the other one to work for her or to do some painting, and I knew immediately, I was like, this is going to be just really bad. And so I told both of them, like, listen, you guys, you know, just keep me out of this. I know they're both really intense people, and it turned into a complete friggin' nightmare, as I predicted, and I was able to not be involved. And in the past, I was always in the center of drama. That kind of codependent, like, you know, let me hook you guys up and let me get you a job. And, oh, like, talk to you. That's always been my MO. And I even told my one friend, like, I said to her, I just, so you know, that's great that you're hiring him, but I cannot vouch for him, just so you know. And she laughed and was like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. And later on, but of course they both still came to me to, you know, to vent. And I was just like, listen, I can't. I love, you know, so that was really, that is like a first for me to be able to pull, to not go get on that train, you know, toward the drama train. So that felt really, really good. My challenge, this is my challenge since I probably came out of the womb, which is to you know, I took this week off. I was supposed to go to Montauk, and I decided not to because for various reasons. And so I decided just to stay in the city and enjoy the city when most of the, you know, the most of the, a lot of the city goes to Long Island. And it was a really good decision. But one of the things I decided to do, you know, was to overextend myself as I typically will do, which is to write this long, long list of, like, I'm going to go to the Guggenheim, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do walking tours of places in the city that I've never, you know, make a to-do list, because I can't just do nothing, because that would be bad, you know. And I ended up not doing any of these things, and I'm challenged, what's challenging is to be okay with that. You know, like, I'm tired, I'm teaching an intensive in October, I work really hard. I don't have to always be doing something to to be validated. So it's getting better, but just when I hear that voice, that inner dialogue of, like, you suck, you should be more cultural and take advantage of New York City, I'm just trying to quiet that critic. And as far as the reading goes, the torture for her, that's so sad. Everything that I've read, especially it's funny because Nikki mentioned this last week, that rather than asking, you know, you know what's really interesting, you guys, is that me having to mute this call when everybody else is talking has actually made me mute myself out there in the world. Like, I just imagine. And just listening rather than always just butting in and interrupting people, which is a really bad habit of mine. So I've been muting myself in life, and it's been really good to not just jump in and try to solve everybody's problems, but to let people talk through it, which is what, you know, the manual, what I've read so far, says to do. So incredible. Love it.
That's awesome, Jenny. And how interesting that word is, no pun intended on the mute, but that it's serving you to move in the direction that you want to move with your personal goals. And I'm sure it felt really strange not to be in the center of drama and not to go through your to-do list, but I just think that some of your work is to how to be still and how to go inward and how to take, and we should all do this, take, and I just said it, but I was going to say it differently, take the word should out of our vocabulary. It just changes the energy. So thank you for sharing so much. Anna, we'll get you on, and hopefully we can understand you. A win and a challenge.
And win and a challenge for this day. To do it back.
Correct.
So I'm on vacation still, and that means for me, I have been delaying to go back to Athens and to my normal schedule because I feel that I need extra time to rest and gather energy for the year to come. And the doubt has been every kind of day, I kind of feel that I should have been back home and getting ready for my from my job. So it's been practicing, and I'm really spending the time looking around and really looking into right moment to myself. It's probably the something that sometimes I've been wondering, what am I doing here? I should be taking care of business and blah, blah, blah. So that's what's going to be sweet.
Okay, Anna, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm not sure if you're done, but it's really challenging to hear you. We're taking in, like, every third word. So what I heard is that you're resting and you're taking care of yourself. And that's a great thing, okay? So hopefully you can hear us okay, and if not, you can listen to the recording. But I'll look forward to you being back in Athens next week so you'll have a strong signal. So thank you for sharing. Ashley, would you jump in?
Yeah. I was just trying to think of what my wins and challenges were this week. I think they kind of tie together. So I've really been focusing on knowing when to say yes and when to say no, which is in all areas of my life because I want to say yes to everything. And, you know, saying no to more things has allowed me to, like, have more time and time to do other things. And coincidentally, I got sick over the weekend. So I've been sick since probably Sunday. And, of course, usually for me, I don't get sick. And I think it's indicative of I never slow down enough to actually allow myself to be sick. So it's kind of interesting. And then I would say, you know, being sick has been a challenge and a blessing. I've had to actually slow down and, like, take some time and do nothing and just relax, whereas I, you know, normally would be like, I have to work, I have to push through, like, I have all this stuff on my plate, and I didn't do that, so I'm pretty proud of myself for that. And then just another win for me this week is we had a development day yesterday with, it was my region and NorCal West, which is about 20 different managers. We had a development day, and I feel like I really showed up in a big way, whereas in the past I would kind of sit back, like I'm not that important, like I'll speak up when I know I have to, and I just contributed throughout the day, regardless of, you know, not feeling 100%.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry.
You're sick. Oh,
are you guys echo?
I don't hear one.
Does anyone else hear an echo?
I just heard a little. I heard one. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Hang tight. I'm going to log back in.
Is anyone there? Hello?
No, we're here.
I think she just left.
I think she popped off.
Okay, so we just wait.
Hi, guys. Hi, Mel. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Mel. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, I just love you guys. It's so great to hear your beautiful voices.
I can't believe you answered, baby. You're amazing.
Three?
Yeah.
Mute.
Okay, I'm back. Is everyone there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
Thank you.
Open
I didn't even do anything. It's just I'm so sorry about this technology. So anyway, Ashley, I'm sorry you got sick, but you're right. It is the universe's way of telling us, asking us to slow down. So I'm glad you took some time for yourself and to still show up. In your full strength in front of all of these managers at that meeting and really step into your power. And all these wins and challenges that I'm hearing is coming directly from your learning. So you all are being empowered along the way, and that's really exciting to hear. So thank you all for sharing. We are now going to turn to page 97. In your manual. And we're beginning to get into the meat of what mentor coaching is. Everyone have a chance to read over the homework?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't too much reading. So there are 5 steps to the basic coaching model. And we are going to dive in and explore each one of these. And they are going to be with us for the remainder of our program. So we're going to constantly be referring back to them. We are going to be listening for them in the coach-to-coach sessions. And it's really the crux of the collaborative process between coach and client as you get really comfortable and really familiar with these steps and how to use them with your voice, your story. This is where change happens. And, you know, you had a chance to listen to 2 of my demo coaching calls, the first and second week, and we hadn't read over these. So I have a sense with the bright minds that are on the call that it was things just sort of fell into place remembering what the coaching conversation was like and the questions that I asked. So we're just going to go through these a little bit, and I'm going to give each one of you a chance to talk about each one. So I'm going to have Mel just read on page 97.
Sasha, I'm just parking now.
Oh, you're parking. You don't
I'm
know.
Still
you don't
driving,
need to read.
I'm just
no, no reading
parked,
for you.
But
no,
but I'll be ready.
You're good.
I'll be ready.
Thank you for reminding me.
2 minutes.
We want to keep a very safe coaching call. All right, Ashley, could you start with a five-step basic coaching model and then read through number one, specifying the client's agenda?
Yep. A five-step basic coaching model provides the structure for each individual coaching session. It may also be useful to consider this model and other interactions and venues, including a self-guided journey. Number one, specify the client's agenda. The specific issue or issues the client wants to focus on in this session, the details or story of the issue, what specifically the client wants to accomplish in the session, and what would you like us to focus on the session, or what would you like us to accomplish in our time today? The client determines the agenda for each session. A, listen deeply and consistently to the client. B, respond appropriately to what the client says and to his or her energy. C, serve the client's agenda through each question and statement.
That's great. That's great.
Okay, perfect.
So tell me a little bit in your own words what that means to you.
I think just being present in the moment is like the number one thing when you're speaking with someone, especially in a coaching conversation. So you can pick up on what's being said, but also what's not being said, and reading like body triggers and just the energy of the situation.
Absolutely.
And then responding accordingly.
Okay. And so it's really important distinguishing feature here. Between coaching and the client. Oh, this echo is just really annoying me. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
It's weird. I haven't even moved. Okay, I think it's gone now. We're going to have to just get together in person. Obviously going to get together in person. All right. But anyway, just really paying attention to what the client is saying, like Ashley said, but also maybe the client comes to the session not knowing what their agenda is going to be. And oftentimes I found this with a lot of my clients, that they'll come to the coaching session with one agenda, and it quickly segues into other areas. So not being so attached, but also using brainstorming as a way to specify the client's agenda. So your client may say, I'm not really sure where I want to go today. And then we'll learn more about this as we go. I'm just sharing with you that brainstorming is a tool that you can use to get the client to just bring more awareness, put language around what they're thinking. And just sometimes verbally saying it out loud will just move that along in terms of them becoming more specific. And we talked last week about not hijacking the client's agenda. So it's really, really the main distinguishing feature between mentor coaching and therapy is that the client is determining the direction that the coach and the client are moving in together. Any questions on specifying the client's agenda? Okay, great. Number two, Nikki, determine useful intervention moments. Just read through, actually read the whole page down there, just on page 98.
Okay.
The intervention moment is the engagement to explore a specific aspect of the center of the client's topic. It is often the aha of the mentor coach about some aspect needing illumination or mutual exploration. A, use intuition about what the client has conveyed to discern the most useful intervention moments. B, facilitate the client's shift by asking open-ended direct questions. Let's look at how you see this as a problem. Help me understand how you're thinking about that to come to that conclusion. C, thoroughly explore the most useful timing for a powerful shift for the client. D, listen for the impact of your question and the statements land and make adjustments as needed. Coaching interventions are the essence of the session. Several potential approaches can be taken with a client to discover how the client may shift in order to take action. Indications for these interventions may come in subtle clues such as the following. Obvious.
That's great. And you guys, it's okay. You guys can read through those. But I want you to highlight the first sentence in the last paragraph. Coaching interventions are the essence of a session. So I believe as practitioners and as teachers, we as people, human beings on the planet, we have all had aha moments. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so, Nikki, would you be able to maybe give an example of an aha moment that you had either as a teacher or a student or just in life in general? And what that looked like.
Gosh, I've had a million aha moments, from really trivial ones like, oh, that's how you flip a pancake, to really big ones like, oh, that's why my friend decided to be a Playboy model. So I don't know. I think yesterday I was talking to my sister, and it really helped me kind of understand that she hasn't had an aha moment about judging people, because she kept saying, like, I don't judge people, and this is our friend that decided to become a Playboy model. But she kept saying, like, I would never do that. How could she do that? And I had this aha moment that I couldn't, as much as I was trying to explain to her, I couldn't explain to her where I was. Meaning I couldn't explain to her the place of acceptance that I was, because she wasn't in that place of acceptance, and that I couldn't, I don't know if that makes sense, I couldn't give her that moment instead of continuing, because I used to, she's my younger sister, so I used to continue to be like, don't you see, you're not understanding, and instead of having that fight with her, I just said, I understand where you're coming from, Jackie, but my life experience has given me a different perspective on this, and mm-hmm. so I think we just see differently. And so that's how we ended the conversation. Like, literally, I it was kind of almost awkward, because I know she was like, I don't think you understand where I'm coming from. And instead of fighting that, I just had this aha moment that, like, I can't give her my perspective. I can't give her my insight, so I'm going to stop fighting that. That's an example.
Right. Now, those are great examples, and they happen in various scenarios at various times in our lives. And I was hopeful that someone might jump in and share their experience of an aha moment as a teacher working.
Oh, I have a really good one.
All right, Jenny, you jumped in.
This aha moment was life-changing in teaching. I was teaching one of the teacher trainings, either the 200 or the 300, and there was a trainee who was practice teaching, and she was assigned something to teach, and she started teaching, and everything that she taught was coming from her hamstring injury. Like, every single thing that she mentioned had somehow, even though it had nothing really to do with hamstrings, she brought the hamstring into it, and it made me realize that, well, it was a few years ago, I was breaking up with a boyfriend that I'd been with for like 8 years, and this, you'll see the connection in a moment, and I remember one like horrible fight, and I said to him, why can't you be like me? And he said, I'm not you. And it was like, you know, and then so anyway, when I was watching this girl teach from her injury, it made me realize that as teachers and as people in general out there in the world, like we until it is either, you know, somehow pointed out to us or we realize it, that we're always coming from things from our own personal perspective and not seeing a larger picture. So that was like a huge moment that I can't just come at things from my own experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that is huge. And through this process of being a mentor coach, we learn how to look through different lenses. And it's not about our lens or what we would do. It's about supporting and holding accountable the clients that we're working with. So in their evolving story, which can be, you know, leading to specifics from brainstorming or whatever they're doing, this aha moment can actually illuminate their evolving story. So there are places where, you know, we talked last week about listening. You know, and it's really coming from a place of being grounded and present and allowing and encouraging the client to, you know, share where they want to go. And there are places that it's totally fine to interrupt. Typically, we don't want to do that, but this is one of those times where if you're having an aha moment, feel free to interrupt with a question such as, I'm getting a hit here. I just want you to correct me if I'm wrong, but I would like to explore this a little bit. Or I have a sense that. And just, you know, get their permission to move forward with it. They can either say yay or nay, and then you move forward from there. But it's seizing that coachable moment that really helps us move in to the third step of the simple coaching model. So it's just like a series of coachable moments, one after another after another. And a great question to just continue to help facilitate that is, like, help me understand how you got to that solution. So there are different ways. There's different powerful questions that can illuminate more of their story. But I just wanted to make sure understands that it's okay to interrupt, especially in this situation, and just check in with your client. And that's something that you will have an agreement with before you even start your coaching relationship. All right, any questions on determining useful intervention moments? Okay, great. Mel, are you still driving?
No, I'm good.
Okay, how about number three, shift the perspective.
Okay, great. So number three, shift of perspective. The shift of perspective is a point of insight or awareness by the client. How can we look at this in another way? Have you seen this before? How do you handle it before that worked the best? How did you handle it before that worked the best? This model works as a process for achieving goals because it catalyzes change. Once an agenda is clear, and one or more coaching interventions have been explored, the coach invites the client to shift or move beyond the stuck place and towards possibility thinking. Woohoo! The shift must occur in the client, not dictated by the coach. It is counterproductive to lock onto a solution and push for it before the client is ready. Hijacking the client's agenda will usually fail because there is no impetus from the client. Clients need to see and experience from their own perspective before they can proceed on their own path. The mentor coach invites the client to look at a problem in a new way or encourages possibility thinking. This or the shift invitation may come in the form of a challenge, a nudge, a suggestion, a new perspective, or simply questioning how the client's thinking led to her conclusion.
Awesome. So how does that speak to you?
Well, it's so funny because it is so, I mean, I'm constantly, and this week my big win is like, okay, how do I shift my mindset from scarcity to abundance?
I mean, I'm rewiring, like, I feel like genetic scarcity, like, just I'm rewiring it. I'm just constantly going, wow, I am so freaking grateful. Like, move from, I am, poor me, I'm such a martyr, to like, oh, my gosh, wow, look at the blessings all around me. I, you know, even to the simple, I drank clean water this morning. So, so I can really relate to that in a really strong way.
Yeah, that was amazing because you've even in our sharing in the beginning talked about possibility thinking. And so coming from a place of what's possible. And I would like for someone to share a parallel to yoga because this is exactly what this program is. It mirrors the yoga principles and the way we engage with our students on and off the mat is in very, very similar. So from a place of what's possible, can somebody give me a yoga parallel, like how they've used this to work with students either in a class format or in a private setting? So, say a student is struggling with a certain pose. Let's just say crow pose. Okay? Arm balance, inversion, difficult, scary, getting your face that close to the ground, tremendous core strength, you know, and upper body strength as well. But how could you use this step of the simple coaching model to work with your student when they're struggling in an asana?
This is Jenny. You know, I love to talk, so I'm happy to chime in if no one else wants to. Just, I don't, I'm like pausing, waiting until, so I don't always.
Oh, Jenny, answer. Oh.
They're saying thank you so much.
Yeah.
Poor anonymous. So I love teaching inversions, and I love inversions. And I come across a lot of students who have big time fear with going upside down, and so one of the what I try to do sometimes, and it's very similar to what the little section is saying is. Is I might use some kind of, not an analogy, but like a compare it. And one of the things I often say, like, hey, let's just say handstands. Okay, go to the wall, everyone, we're going to do handstands. And I just love them so much. And I really like teaching them. And I try to, and we always get this, you know, there's always like four people that leave the room when it's time to go to the walls, or there's, you know, people who are just like, they sit on their mat and look like discouraged and despondent. And so I have these pep talks that I give where I mention how, Abhinivesha, one of the kleshas is a big, it's, you know, fear, and fear of death in this situation, literally, because you feel like you're gonna slam your head against the wall and die. It's a fear that I think is an unconscious fear, the handstands. We don't really go that far into the fear consciously. But so I might talk about how, you know, notice how if right away before you even attempt to do this thing that scares you, if you're already telling yourself a story, if you're in, you know, if you're just taking what you've always used and you're, you know, the things that you've said in your head and bringing it into this moment right now, and how the yoga room is a great environment from which to just explore that obstacle because it's safe. Like out there in the world, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we're not in a safe place always, but this is a good place to at least practice kind of overcoming that fear. It's a small step, and seeing people then get up for the first time, as all the other yoga teachers on the call can probably agree with, is like they sometimes they scream. They're like, "Oh my God!" You know, and they get up there and they just like, "I never," you know, and they're like, you know, 50-year-old woman, "I've never done that before," And they never forget that moment, and I think it's really significant.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful example, and it's great insight. And it's realizing that a lot of people, including ourselves, we operate from a limited belief system. And when those beliefs are triggered, we go into certain behaviors. So we're always looking back, and that's actually some of the reading, too, that we did this past week is, you know, if they're stuck, you know, what is that limiting belief? What is the behavior that's associated with the limiting belief? And when you begin to bring awareness around the limiting belief or around a constant behavior, that's where the change is going to start. And just seeing your people, your students, just try. Like, it can even be super, super, super modified. Just maybe putting the crown of their head on the ground and feeling that grounding and that earth underneath them is, you know, it helps to catalyze change, and it moves people in the direction of stepping out of their fears and into exploring. Now, some people may never go upside down, and that's cool, too. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I hope this interruption on. I was going to ask you, what are those two ways to interrupt again? What's so fascinating about this section, shift the perspective, is that when you go upside down, you're literally shifting your perspective. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And was there a question there, Jenny?
Well, earlier you said in coaching environments, there don't interrupt, and there's ways to do it in which are acceptable. And I was like, write these down, Jenny. And then you said them fast, and then I already forgot
them. It was under number two, determining useful intervention moments. So when you feel as a coach that you're getting a hit, you're getting an intuitive hit, and you're having an aha moment, it's totally fine to interrupt. But check in with the client. You're not hijacking their agenda. You're not creating solutions for them. But you're just sharing with them the perspective that you're feeling, and allowing that to illuminate their evolving story a bit more.
You said it in a certain way, though.
I have a sense that,
okay,
whatever it is, or correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to explore this a little bit more, whatever it is. You know, just check in with them and let them know that you're pausing for a moment to explore this intuition, this aha moment.
Sasha, can I ask you to be a smidge more specific in that, like, so if, for example, if you were going to use a line, I have a sense that, let's say, I don't know, I have a sense that you're avoiding this person, or I have a sense that you're avoiding, would you say that, or would you say, I have a sense that you're not getting along with so-and-so? Like, would you be super direct about what you're sensing, or
Absolutely.
Would you try, okay.
But it doesn't have to be, I mean, it has to feel good to you. There's no set language. You've got to, you know, you've established or are establishing the relationship that you have with your client. And you kind of know the dance, the rhythm between the two of you. And in the beginning, it's challenging when you, both of you are just getting to know each other and working together for the first time. But I feel like you can and oftentimes are direct, because you are, you know, moving the client forward. You can't be dancing around everything. But you can say it in a way that puts it back on them, that asks them the question. So if you're talking about that specific example, I might say I have a sense that there may be more than you're sharing. Does that make sense?
Yes, I can see what you're
okay.
saying.
Without having a concrete example of what's being spoken about.
Right.
But putting it back on them to like, oh, okay, well, let me explore this a little bit deeper. Rather than just continuing on with their story of what they're sharing with you, you're stopping, you're pausing. You're going a little bit deeper into that specific area.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Okay. Who has, we're on number four.
Who has not read? Jenny. Jenny, are you there?
Okay. Yes, session? I'm here. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, frame the
session. Let's start. Start on the page 100 at the top.
Okay. The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. A formal stated action plan by the client allows both coach and client to know exactly what the client's commitment is and how success will be measured. Both parties are clearly and specifically focused on the success map for that week. A, acknowledge the shift the client has just made. B, check the client's commitment to moving forward. C, request action from the client. What actions are you taking away from the session? What accomplishment is done this week would result, what accomplishment, if done this week, would result in significant improvement, and are you willing to do it? Have the client specify a time frame for the intention. And follow up.
Just reflecting back on our session last week, do you recall what the how you framed the session, like what kind of action step you got into?
Yes. Well, I are you asking me what I said that I would do?
Correct.
Yeah, I said that I what I need to do is what I is sit down for a moment, just take a moment and just pause and breathe and let go of my agenda before I walk into a teaching situation so that I'm a little bit more, yeah, exactly. I remember that clearly. And then you asked me if I would commit to doing it. And I said, yes. And then you made me say it out loud exactly what I was committing to doing.
I encouraged you.
I mean, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
And how did that feel? Did that actually give you, feel like it gave you more accountability that you said it out loud and that, you know, I was holding you accountable to what you said you were going to do?
Absolutely. It's kind of embarrassing. It almost felt like I was like you know, in school, like I will not chew gum in class kind of thing. But, you know, but it really was, I mean, there's certain things that are effective for a reason. So it did absolutely make me, the words coming out of my mouth had more, it gave it more weight for sure.
Yes. And so that top paragraph, I think, is the most important piece of this section. The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. Because in this collaborative process, you're moving forward. You're taking someone who has enlisted your services because they're stuck, they want to move through something, they want to move forward, and you are continuing to move them forward by having them be in action. You're furthering their learning, and you're establishing and staying true to their agenda. So you can talk on the phone for an hour every week, but unless you're coming up with some kind of action plan, then they're just going to, it's all just going to be talking. There's no change that's going to happen. So it's really important to acknowledge the shift that the client has just made from the previous step and then put it all together and ask them to make a commitment around some action item. Does anybody have any questions on this section? Because they found in many scientific studies that establishing a goal actually enhances our motivation. It also strengthens our intention and our commitment. Okay, great. Anna, I would love to have you talk. I hope you're on the call, but just because of the bad connection, I just hope you're listening. And I'm going to go back to Ashley and have Ashley read just that final paragraph on the follow-up, please.
That follow-up. The key role for a mentor coach is that of accountability partner, or is that of accountability partner. In the subsequent session as a coach, you are an accountability partner.
This means that you have jotted down the client's commitment from the previous session, and if the client does not mention what he or she has done regarding those commitments, it is your obligation to check in. A follow-up of things to accomplish between sessions builds in accountability and continuity with the overall mission.
Great, and I think you all have heard you all have heard in the session. So a great question here is, what would you like to take away from the session? Define the
difference.
Just to get better traction on what your client wants.
I'm sorry, here's your question. It was Ashley. I was just saying I did this with one of my peers yesterday. We set a by when. She has been struggling with her goals, and she's like, I'm just avoiding doing them. And so immediately it was like, all right, cool, when are you going to do them by? And she committed to a date, and I'm going to follow her. She's going to follow up with me on Sunday. Well, that was her by when, but... it could apply to any conversation, and obviously it applies in this, but that's how you can really hold people, get people thinking of, like, when they're actually going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's an awesome example. Thank you for sharing, and just when you put that accountability piece in, it just changes everything. So we will continue to... dissect these five steps of the simple coaching model as we move through our program, but we are at the top of the hour, so this is what's going to happen next. I'm going to ask Nikki, if you don't mind, can totally read, just to name the five steps of the simple coaching model.
You want me to just name the five steps?
Correct. Just you read them.
Number one, specify the client's agenda. Number two, determine useful intervention moments. Number three, shift the perspective. Number four, frame the session. And number five, follow up.
Great, thank you. So that's what we are going to be listening for. So Mel is going to be our coach. Nikki is going to be the client, and so Anna, Jenny, Ashley, and myself will hit star 6, and ladies, give us a minute to mute and then take it away and be mindful of your time. I'll come back on at 1:15, 1:16 if you haven't already wrapped up. Okay, good luck.
Okay, hi, Nikki.
Hi, Mel.
It's so great to talk to you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're my first.
Me too. What would you like our time to be about today? What would you like to take away from our conversation?
Thanks so much for asking, Mel. I actually was originally wanted to ask you about kind of how I could come up with a plan to start looking for a yoga job. And then as I was doing it, I actually realized, as I was kind of writing my own little SMART goal, I kind of realized that what I'm really struggling in is, and the reason I think I haven't moved forward, is kind of trying to figure out where, like I said earlier, where my goals should be created when I'm so uncertain of where I'm going to be in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm wondering if we could come up with a plan to, like, create goals that are year-oriented instead of maybe life-oriented.
Hmm. Well, first I have to say that I think it's fantastic that you're able to really, you know, boil down, you know, where you've been you know, possibly getting stuck a little bit. And I think that's great work.
Thank you.
Where you say, you know, first you say plan to get a yoga job, and then where you'll be in the next year, you know, kind of like getting that clarified. Is there anything, you know, could you tell me more about, you know, where you are in your daily life and where you feel like you want more in the sense that that would lead you to that next step? You know, something more, just more that's already happening.
Yeah, sure. So I moved to Orlando in February, and originally, oh, you know what, you guys, I am so sorry. My little boy just woke up and is walking out the door right now. Hold on one second.
Hold on. Yeah, Knox is coming over. Can you give me 5 more minutes on the phone? Yeah. There you go.
Am I back? So, now, so I moved here in February, and originally I was like, okay, I'm not going to look for a job until my little boy's in preschool because I didn't want to have to, like, try to find a sitter to get paid $35.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So then, so now he's in preschool. So he's in his second week, and I still have made zero strides towards getting a job, including, like, I don't even have a resume because I've been so blessed in the yoga works world to just have been given job after job after job for the last, what, 8 years, you know? So I guess I'm trying to figure out if I'm, you know, not moving forward with getting a yoga job because I don't want to create roots, or if I'm just being lazy, or do you know what I'm saying? So I kind of, you know, I have written down, I can share with you what I do have written down. Like, I'm like, okay, I need a resume, and my by when date is September 5th. And then get resume to studios by September 9th. And so that's kind of where I've gotten in my goal, and I just kind of feel like they're so silly, you know? Like, I feel like my goals are silly.
Well, what makes them silly to you? Like, why would they be silly?
Because I feel like, and again, I'm not comparing, but I'm feeling like where I am.
Holy.
Hold on 1 second. Bubby, mommy's on the phone right now. Can you please be quiet? Okay? Or can you go play in your room for me? I'm so sorry. Hold on 1 second.
That's okay. Can you please me? I understand.
I know you do. Thank you. That's why you're probably my first. Sasha didn't know her divine intervention. Okay, so I feel like they're trivial because obviously where I am in my yoga career, like, I was teaching teacher trainings. Like, I'm EYRT 500, and I come here, and everybody on the schedule is 200, and I'm like, I got to get a job, whereas I feel like I should be like Kia Miller, where I'm like, well, I'm writing a book, not comparing myself at all to Kia Miller. And so I sit down to write my goals, and they feel so silly that I don't even want to continue writing them.
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't know what I'm saying.
I do. I do know what you're saying. What I will say that, you know, I have a sense because I'm a mom. I just have a sense that there's you giving a lot of energy and caring out in your life. I just wonder if we could kind of reframe, you know, instead of in silly goals, okay. What are we doing with the yoga? What does that the job mean? And can we reframe it so it's nourishing to you? And then they're just like, oh, these are simple steps just to make sure you move into that path of nourishment, which may be being at the right place, or maybe creating your own business of sorts as well, too. I mean, there could be many possibilities.
Yeah, and I actually, that's so interesting that you said that, because I most certainly, like, when I came here, I have a good friend, Corey, and she was like, you need to go in and you need to just start doing, like, workshops, like a teacher's teacher, and, like, you know, kind of market yourself like that. And there are all these ideas, yet, again, I feel like I'm putting this time and energy into something that may not exist for me in a year. So I feel like feel as though I need to, like, get busy as soon as possible, because I do know how much I miss that in my own life and how much I need it. yeah. But anyways, I think, and again, I don't know where it comes from, and I really am trying to look at it, and I really can't figure out where this hesitation is coming from, except that I don't know where I'll be. I don't know. I have even gone to the place of, like, is it just fear of not being accepted in a new place? And because I have been so blessed to have just been given work since I graduated teacher training, you know?
Sure, sure. And I think, you know, I think that boiling down, because I do sense fear. And so it's like, okay, where exactly is that fear? And also, can we shift the channel? Can we literally move you from fear into that aspect of possibility? And the one thing I just want to gently say is that, not to be more of it, but none of us are promised tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So we all live and there's no guarantee. But just how can we nourish you and fill you with more joy and which will also bring you more abundance financially and, you know, all because it's in your path. How can we help you move into that and know that there aren't any guarantees?
Yeah. That is very true, Moni. I think you're right that I should look at that. Look at it like as if none of us know what tomorrow holds, so that I should kind of create my life. So I think that's helpful.
What aspect of your teaching feels fun? Like,
what aspects of
abundance? Yeah, fun. Like, it feels like an easy process, an easy...
What part feels easy? Teaching in general, it feels easy to me. I really enjoy teaching. It's not stressful. I love teaching, so all of it feels good to me. Obviously, the part that I don't love is having to go and try to get a job and prove that I'm a good teacher. You know, I obviously have not had to do that in a long, long time. So, I don't know. But I love teaching.
One of the things that I'm hearing is there's so many possibilities in a way, and what I'd love to see if I could help you is to maybe even clarify if there's just one aspect. This is just a for instance, working with new mothers, moving deeper into their practice or time management or finding for themselves, however, an area that, you know, you have such expertise already, you know, you're so qualified already, is there a way that you, as like, you know, and it with something behind them, I mean, you have, you're bringing in, and you have something that you're excited about that will take off or anything.
I'm so sorry that the last part broke up.
Okay. Because I'm saying that, you know, I ask you, is there an area in your teaching, you know, beyond just like general teaching, general teacher walking in, is there like an area that you really enjoy, that you feel really like, you know, this is my niche of sorts, and you go in and, you know, suggest a workshop or build
like
more fun. It's not like you're feeling one of many. So is there an area like that we could develop?
Oh, that's a really good question. Only that I do think that I have really developed myself as a teacher trainer. And so the one idea that I played with is coming in and doing like a teacher's workshop, meaning, you know, either like how to get, teach a better sense salutation, or you know what I'm saying, like as a teacher in this workshop, how to how to do better hands-on adjustments, just something like that, because I know that it is a young yoga community here where I live. But I hesitate because I always feel like, who am I to walk in and assume that these teachers don't know what they're doing? You know what I mean? So the only reason I think I have that perspective is because, sorry, my little boy is trying to write on my syllabus, is because I've looked at their bios, and I know that they're all, like, 200-hour certified teachers, and I haven't even found one that's 500-hour certified yet. So
you have authentically earned your place as a trainer. Is that correct?
I'm what?
As a teacher. You authentically earned your place as a teacher trainer, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So it is really for what you have expertise in.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do. So that seems to me that, you know, when you say, who are you to bring them this, who are you not to? And it seems like it is part of your business. And this is, you have a job to do that.
Yeah.
Responsibility in your community to bring in a new perspective.
Yeah.
I have to say, Nikki, just full disclosure, I mean, I feel like, okay, I'm trying to set my silky come to a place where we can say, okay, you know, this is where we're going because our time is coming to a close. Like, you know, how
right.
can I help you? So we say, okay, this is a first good step. And if it's the resume, even though you say it might be silly or it seems very simple, it is a first good step.
It is a
maybe
step. I agree with you. It's a step.
For your workshop, you know? Something
yeah.
excited.
Yeah. I when think you're right. I think I think I need to start moving, and that is definitely the thing I keep coming back to is, like, you're not even taking the first step, which is completing this resume. I mean, I literally type, like, Nicole Soto Affleck at the top of a resume. You know what I mean? Like, that's
sure.
as far as I've gone. And which is so sad because, right, we make all of our trainees create these resumes and hand them into us, and I don't even have one. But I think that's actually really good. I think I just need to start by creating a resume. And then, you know what, I actually haven't even sat there and thought, how could I approach maybe a workshop? So maybe even sitting down to write, you know, maybe the structure of a workshop I could present would help me to find a niche that I felt really comfortable with. So I think both of those are a really good idea.
Fantastic. Do you feel that, you know, what is the time frame that you think you could do that?
Well, because my goal is to be teaching a class by October, I did mm-hmm. put that I would have my resume by next week. So
okay,
September
so what exact 5th. Day next week? September 5th?
September 5th, yeah. That's Thursday. That would be our next meeting together.
Okay, that's great. Would you be willing to have me check up on you like halfway and see how you're doing?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, great. Now, would you be willing to say that you're committed? Like, should we say resume or resume
yeah.
to workshop blurb of sorts or workshop idea? Will we do
let's
one,
start,
or you think we can do both?
Let's start with one. Let's start with one.
Okay.
I'm going to start with one. So, yes, I commit to have my resume done by September 5th.
Okay. That's fantastic. I just think you're doing a great job. You know, it's a lot that you're sifting through, and you're doing a really wonderful job of going through it and being kind to yourself, which I think is ultimately the most important, to open the channels and let it all start to flow for you.
Thank you, Mel.
Is there anything else we need to say?
I don't think so. I'm looking at my clock, and it says 3:15, so...
Everyone,
if everyone can unmute, hit star.
No, thank
today,
you.
And
come back onto the call.
Love you, Nick.
Love you. Okay, great job, ladies. We'll let you give your take of how that felt, but I'm going to let Ashley facilitate our feedback discussion.
Hello.
Yes, Ashley.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to start with her sharing how it was for her?
Any place you want to start.
No, I want to start. Okay. A few of the notes I had for Mel was that Mel would ask, like, multiple questions, like almost trying to, you know, work through the question as you were asking her.
Sure.
So you'd ask, like, three in a row. So, you know, she was one of those three. I think it got better as you went on, but initially it was kind of like talking at talking yourself through it.
Sure.
And then I think there was just like one more layer to go with Nikki, right? Around like I heard her say she had to prove herself or this like concern or fear, and just like really uncovering like how that was holding her back, maybe. I think like when we started the coaching, she already had said she's planning on having her resume by the 5th and submitting it by the 9th, I think she said. So I think like for me, I guess I'm just wondering like what from this conversation is different than when we started. You know, was there an aha moment for Nikki?
Nikki, do you want to answer that?
You know, I don't know that.
I don't know that.
Oh, echo. I don't know that there was a huge aha moment, but just I think Melanie and Mel saying that I do have a right to go in and think that I am a teacher trainer because I am was helpful. And so that was helpful. It helped me realize like that I kind of am on the right track and that I need to continue to just take steps forward. But and no, I don't know that there was a huge aha moment.
Great. Thank you. Ashley, anything else that you want to add that you noticed or observed through that coaching session?
I think for the first time, Mel did a great job of just listening and responding.
We have a little bit of feedback, so if you're the one that has that, maybe press star 6. Sounds like wind if someone might be outside. Great. Thank you. Go ahead, Ashley.
No, I think Mel did a good job like working through the questions. And, I mean, Nikki made a commitment to all of us, or you know, to Mel. So I think now it's all about, if she does it or not. And that'll be the shift.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for leading our discussion. Jenny, what thoughts do you have and what feedback do you have for coach and or client?
What was interesting is because Nikki and Mel know each other, I felt like there was definitely a tone which would not necessarily be the same tone in a real situation, or maybe it would be. I don't know. So I felt like possibly, I'm not sure, but maybe Mel was a little bit reluctant to be more assertive. I don't know, or to. I'm getting my own. I don't know if assertive is what we are supposed to be doing. So. Let me
say more about that.
One more second. Just to be more
assertive, piece.
To ask, you know, she did ask. Definitely, she asked questions about what was maybe stopping her from going into these studios, or what did she? Where was it coming from? Or I think maybe I didn't hear that. That maybe that's just in my head. I just want to just make a disclaimer that I make things up. So if I say something that you said and you didn't say it, then I'm sorry. okay, so that.
So you're really not a yoga teacher?
Yeah, right. right. What I might do instead, is be a little bit more direct and get Nikki to come up with some. Not just why is she. You know, why is she, why is she reluctant to go in? But, okay, so, you know, and what I love what Mel said is like, well, there's no guarantees. None of us know where we're going to be. And that's so true. But, like, who cares? You know, that doesn't, in a way, it's like that could be a great opportunity to just take more of a risk because it doesn't matter as much. I think that both of them are, and Nikki was really, you know, Nikki, I felt like she was embarrassed for feeling the way that she feels, which she shouldn't be. I mean, or we should, none of us should be, but often we are. I'm so afraid of my language right now, like should and shouldn't. I'm editing myself. I'm attempting. Her willingness to be so vulnerable in front of Mel was great, and that I feel like would really help them over time in a real situation come to some solutions. Because the honesty.
And I like the way. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
I'm done.
Okay. There's sometimes a delay, so sorry for interrupting. I like the way that you replaced assertive with direct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes assertive has a negative connotation, not necessarily, but direct is again just another way. Those powerful questions, those direct questions that get the client thinking and moving them forward, and getting them into action, and allowing them to know that they are creative, resourceful, and whole. That they hold the answers within them. We're just there to facilitate that wisdom coming out by the way that we show up and the principles that we use and the techniques that we apply. So great insight there. I'll share my thoughts, and actually, I'm sorry, I'll share my thoughts last. So Nikki, how did that feel to you?
It felt good. I felt really bad, Mel, because I really wanted to come with like a very clear issue. And as I was trying to write these goals and get clearer, I felt like that was my struggle, was that I couldn't be as clear as I wanted to be. And so I feel like I gave her a really hard situation for her first time. But I think because I was so unclear, it made it harder for her. And that's how I felt. I felt like I was very unclear with my own feelings, so I didn't allow for her to be maybe clear with hers.
So could that be an authentic situation with a coach and a client where the client is not clear?
Definitely, because I am literally here because I want coaching. I want to move forward in my own life, and I feel very stuck. And so if I was a client, I would have walked in with that exact situation.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's just a reminder not to judge, not to feel badly about what you brought to the table, that it should have looked, quote unquote, any differently than what it was. You showed up with what was exactly on your mind. And your job is to know that your coach can hold whatever you're willing to share with the highest integrity and validation. So, I would remind yourself of that. Whatever you show up with is exactly where you need to be. I think it was great. Mel, how did that feel to step into your first coaching role?
First, I just want to say thank you for throwing me in there, because I've been overthinking and get myself my panties in a bunch. So it was good. And I just have to say, Nikki, you know, you're so perfect the way you are. And just real and authentic, and you know, so it was wonderful for me to be able to share that time with you. And you know, I have to say that I think all the feedback was so really great, because I was feeling like, okay, I don't have my sea legs here. I'm thinking I should be doing this. Is this the proper way? You know, relanguaging almost in a way. I can be overly assertive. I'm a sweet person, but I'm a pushy person, and in my asana room, I'm pushy. so I just, you know, like I went and didn't want to do that. I really wanted to try to listen, and so it was effort. It definitely was effort, and it was excellent. Thank you for throwing me in.
Yeah. Well, I just want to for stepping in to our first coaching session. It's, you know, to come in as rookies, right? When we're veterans at other places in our lives, and when we learn something new,
we, as a culture, I think, have this fear of failure and this fear of embarrassment and judgment around, and especially in a setting like this with our peers. And I just want to acknowledge both of you and everyone who's going to step into this role in the future, is that you are stepping into a scary place. And each time you do it, you're going to build that muscle and you're going to get stronger at your skills and at the way to apply what you're learning to your coaching. So I'm really impressed. I just appreciate Nikki coming to the table in your full authenticity, and especially even with your baby waking up, and you had that moment where you had to be, this is your life. This is clearly what's going on with you in this moment. I thought it was a nice dance between the two of you. I wanted to just check in to feel like between Mel and Nikki, if you guys got to the steps of the five simple coaching model. So just as a reminder, clarifying the client's agenda, do you think that that was attained?
I didn't do it. I didn't hear it back. Okay.
Seizing the coachable moment.
I don't know.
Inviting the shift.
Maybe.
Is this something to reflect on? Okay.
I think she invited a shift. I think she tried to invite a shift. Sorry, I can't get off mute fast enough.
Okay. Framing the session was absolutely done, and the follow-up was done. So just as you move forward with your development, just keep, and we'll keep coming back to these five simple coaching models. You'll find that 15 minutes is like a blank. It's so challenging to do all of this in 15 minutes. There's so many different ways you can go, as Ashley, you know, wanted to hear more about uncovering a deeper layer. And I would have gone in another direction, and it doesn't really matter what direction we would go, but you want to really allow the framework of the simple coaching model to be present with every coaching session that you have. Okay? So great job, everyone. I want to honor your time and just quickly give you our homework, which is to read page 87 through 112. This is on the syllabus as well. Review page 81 through 86. And then I would like for you in the yoga supplement to read, I think it's half of page 2, all of page 3, and half of page 4, and take the action challenge on page 4. Check in with your buddies this week. And if you have any questions or concerns before we meet next week, please reach out to me. And I hope you guys have a fabulous, safe, long holiday weekend. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.